Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezvik here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Thanks to Teresa Walker from the Associated Press for joining us for this last hour. People, big fans of Teresa Walker on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, as yes, they should be.
Stop asking her to replace me on the show, text line. They did actually ask for her to replace another certain person at the station who shall go unnamed.
They did. It did happen on the text line. 615-737-1025. So we talked a lot about Treylon Burks there. Some interesting comments from Diana Russini from ESPN on the Athletic NFL podcast about what she's hearing about Treylon Burks and the shape that he's in heading into Titans training camp. Here's what Diana Russini from ESPN had to say.
Everything I've heard since then has been awesome. I've heard he's in shape. I've heard he's lost weight. I've heard there's been so much growth already. And this is an organization that doesn't like to share. I don't want to say it doesn't like to share positive stuff, but they're not quick to go there. And the stuff I've been getting from some people, some low-level people too as well, like they've heard that, oh, he's working out tons. He dropped the weight. He's good to go. So I think heading into camp, this is a really good first step, considering I thought that was going to be an absolute disaster.
So that was Diana Russini on Treylon Burks heading into camp. And you heard it there, Joe, talking about how apparently he's lost some weight, is in better shape heading into training camp, and has made significant progress. What did you make of that report by Diana Russini? And what do you think it means for Treylon Burks heading into this camp?
Well, first of all, I do put stock into it, regardless of who her source may be. But she has good sources in the Titans organization. I think that's been pretty clearly demonstrated here for the last few years. She's gotten some good information. I'm going to be honest with you. I can't off the top of my head remember if she's broken any major news with the Titans, but she's had some good information along the way. So I put stock into it. If Rabel or somebody in the coaching staff is putting this out there, then you're not going to put that out there to then have Treylon Burks prove to actually be a complete disappointment relative to that, right? I mean,
no.
Like, you just won't say anything, probably.
Yeah. So, well, that's the thing. Like, to me, if somebody's telling you this, and let's say it's somebody of influence that's telling you this, whether that's Vrabel, J-Rob, or otherwise, like, you got to be pretty confident putting this out there that he's going to be ready to go. Because if you put this out there, and then all of a sudden tomorrow rolls around, and he gets 4 reps into camp and has to go out and off field because he's not ready, like, that's not going to be a great look for Treylon Burks again at that point.
Then it's a bigger disappointment,
right?
Because an expectation has now been created based on this reporting. Also, it makes Diana Russini look bad. So if you're a source who doesn't want to do that, then why would you also do it? So, I mean, I put some stock into it.
And frankly, it
would be shocking if anything else was true,
right?
It would be shocking if Treylon Burks didn't look at everything that happened and say, well, at least I better lose as much weight as I can and being in the best possible shape I can. Well, you know, if I can't control everything about the asthma and all that fine, but at least got to get in the best possible shape. And if that's not his thought and response, then you got problems.
Right. Like we talked about that at the time of, you know, now that he's come in, you're in the post-draft process. I think this is the case for a lot of young guys, regardless of what the sport is. And I was talking about this to somebody the other day. You know, you've gotten away, and maybe gotten away with is not the right term, but you've been able to throughout your career so far, for the most part, you've just been a better athlete than everybody else. Like we talk about this with high school players making the transition to college all the time. Well, you're the best high school player on your team, and sometimes that's not the case when you go to college. Well, it's the same thing going to the NFL. Like Treylon Burks was an absolute stud last year. I'm not saying that he didn't work for it, because clearly he did, but has he always throughout the course of his life had to be the best conditioned guy out there? Has he had to be the most in shape guy out there? Probably not, because he's been so gifted athletically. So when you get to the NFL, everybody's good. That's what it is in the NFL. It's the best of the best, and you have to get every advantage you get. I mean, that goes back to the Kyler Murray thing of the, why are you not watching film anyway? Why do you have to have an independent work clause put in your contract to make sure you watch 4 hours of film or prepare 4 hours by yourself? Like, that should be something you're doing if you're a quarterback in the NFL. Well, it's similar with, you know, any rookie coming into the league. Like, it's a different game at the NFL, and a lot of times this is the first time that guys like this have to do that. I mean, you know, Corey Curtis and I were talking about Vince Young the other day. He never had to work that hard before he got to the Titans. He was just better than everybody else throughout. I mean, he did whatever he wanted to at Texas. It's not that way in the NFL.
Yeah, and everybody should know that, right? I mean, you should. Like, you should get that. That it's a totally different level. This is the best athletes, but it's also, I mean, it's just staff meeting after staff meeting. It's all you do is, trying to find every little edge you can schematically. It's totally on, at some point, it's on whoever we're talking about if they don't make the most of the situation. Sometimes people have, not to take responsibility away completely, but sometimes people have issues, which is part of the Isaiah Wilson story. But still, I mean, it's like you got to understand what it takes to have a chance to compete at this level. And Treylon Burks, look, it's there are a lot of factors, obviously, that went into that. I don't know. Honestly, I still don't know that he was, like, terribly out of shape this spring. I know the stories from the combine Albert Breer wrote about. I did not look at him and say, my gosh, he's really heavy.
It's like Pizza the Hut out there from Spaceballs.
There you go.
Yeah, how about that?
I liked any Spaceballs reference. Yeah. Good. You're big on those. Yeah, it wasn't like it was some, oh, my gosh, clearly he's out of shape. Like, you could, yeah, well, frankly, if you go back to Isaiah Wilson, you could kind of see that, you know, during his first camp. And it's easier with bigger guys sometimes too. But whatever, you got to be in the best possible shape you can be in. So whatever that is, that's where Treylon Burks has got to be, should be right now. And it'll be interesting to see if Vrabel gets into that, talks about it much at his presser today.
Bob on the text line says, Burks will be Mike Williams 2.0, will eat and lazy his way off the team. You can't coach desire. And he has shown this since college. This comes from Bob on the text line.
Okay, well, I think in college there definitely was some, if you go back through his career, there was some needing a kick in the butt, things like that. But how Bob would know that he would do this right now, look at how he obviously responded to get himself drafted in the first round. I mean, you don't play the way he did last year in the SEC if you aren't working hard.
Right.
I'm going to say that. Like, this isn't like the most gifted athlete in the history of mankind. I mean, he must have put a lot of work in to do what he did last year, I'm going to guess. So, again, this is like the classic overreaction to things that some things that are not in his control as far as we know.
What did you make of what Teresa put out there of – what his role could be in this offense? I mean, there's the Robert Woods part of this that's its own thing. Like, if Robert Woods is healthy, I think he's going to be really good. Is he going to be A.J. Brown good? Probably not. But I think he's going to be really good if he's healthy. the Treylon Burks on the field part of this and the weapons now around Tannehill. What did you make of what Teresa had to say about the weapons as a whole and how Treylon Burks fits into that picture?
Well, I certainly agree. Tight end looks better. I'm holding off on anticipating Chig Okonkwo to make a big difference this year, but if he makes a decent difference to go with Hooper, that's quite an upgrade from what they were last year. I struggle with better weapons. So here's the thing. It's like going into the year, no way. But going into last year, we did not know what was going to happen with Julio.
Right.
So if you consider Julio and Marcus Johnson hurt a ton of last year and things like that, and if you throw in Burks is going to be good and Woods, then I get, you know, it's close. I'm clearly thinking that A.J. Brown is kind of a big loss. I'm not.
It's not just you. The sports books are thinking that. There's a lot of people thinking that.
It's hard for me to think better weapons overall with A.J. Brown not a part of it. Now, if you show me Treylon Burks taking huge strides and proving that he's going to be a key part of this offense, then it could get interesting.
615-737-1025. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans and look ahead to training camp. Coming up next, who are some under-the-radar guys this year for the Titans that we think can make a name for themselves at training camp? We'll get into that discussion coming up next as well. Make sure you tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball tonight at 7:05 on 94.9 The Fan. The Sounds host the Charlotte Knights, a Triple-A affiliate of the Chicago White Sox at First Horizon Park. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza and Farm Bureau Health Plans. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Join 1025, 1063, The Game and Newton Motor Group this summer to help kids in Middle Tennessee as we team up with Souls for Souls to provide shoes to children experiencing homelessness in Nashville and the surrounding area. With school coming back, we're taking donations to provide shoes for children in need for the school year, but we can't do it without you. So please consider helping however you can by going to thegamenashville.com/shoes. All donations will go directly to Souls for Souls to give shoes to children in Middle Tennessee experiencing homelessness. Let's do some good this summer, and thank you for your help. Once again, that's thegamenashville.com/shoes. Newton Motor Group, a proud sponsor of Souls for Music City. Newton Motor Group, the best car deals in Nashville start at Newton. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Talking Titans, welcoming your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe, real quickly, William from Madison on the text line says, I've not heard Joe's thoughts about the Pistons going back to those terrible teal uniforms.
Stupid.
I thought that was going to be your Rex rant for today.
Yeah, I could save that one. That's a pretty good
hot take. I love them.
They're awful.
Yeah, they're pretty bad. It was cool that like Jerry Stackhouse and
there was that
Michael Curry modeled them yesterday up there. My buddy Vince Ellis, who now works for the Pistons, is sending me Dirty Harry, Clint Eastwood gifts of me telling people to get off my lawn because I hate the uniforms. I hate them. By the way, the Pistons have really good uniforms that they've won all their championships in, and then they had the teal era where they had like Terry Mills and,
Stop blaming it on the uniforms.
They did have Grant Hill.
That's
my good memory of the teal uniforms. They did have Grant Hill. Teresa's blowing me up saying, disagree with me now that I'm off the – so I leave and then you disagree with me. I was disagreeing with her here, wasn't I?
You were? Yeah. Y'all got into a big thing about it. It was cool. I enjoyed it.
We'll have to carry this over to the pre-press conference after we stuff Kaharski in the trash can.
That's right. So, Joe, some guys that are on your radar heading into camp this year that maybe are flying under the radar locally a little bit that you think could make a name for themselves. Because I think about last year, Teresa brought this up. It was Marcus Johnson last year, Ola Adeniyi last year at camp, NWI at camp. You had Racy McMath the first part of camp last year. There were several different guys, Chester Rogers, that stood out at training camp last year. And some of those went on to have pretty significant impacts on the team. Some did not. But who are some guys, as you look at the roster as it's presently constructed, that you think could be training camp storylines this year that maybe we're not thinking about right now?
I've already forgotten the name of the Iowa running back who I was like, I like this guy a lot. He's got a shot. Who was it?
I'm trying to remember who that was, too. Was that last year?
I think so, right? I believe it was last year.
Who was that?
See? All right, good. I'm not the only
boomer.
Yeah. Well, there's that, too. That's right.
No, Robbie's just an old soul.
He is. You just don't want to be an old brain. Someone on the text line, just like yesterday, lack of institutional control. This is where the text line springs into action.
Was it Brian Hill?
No, Brian Hill was the guy that they brought from Atlanta.
That's right.
He didn't.
You may be thinking of 2 years ago then.
Really? Oh, boy. That's terrible. Well, anyway, how about Trenton Cannon? How about Jordan Wilkins? I bet you one of those running backs at some point during camp is opening eyes. You know, and it's probably not going to matter.
I know. It's Mekhi Sargent.
Oh, there we go. Sargent.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was 2 years ago?
No, that was last year.
Okay. All right. Hey.
Yeah, Joe.
Having a good day here. Having a good day. All right. Give me some applesauce. So those two guys are they're great candidates for training camp hero status, like Mason Kinsey has been. And then you have, and again, Mason Kinsey, I think he's going to compete. He's going to be out there making plays. I don't think Mason Kinsey is going to be on the active roster.
We'll hear a lot about Mason Kinsey throughout the preseason on this program, though.
A little bit too much has been made of Mason Kinsey in the last couple of years. Again, it's a great story, Barry College, but I think Kyle Phillips is going to be the guy who gets the roster spot. I think Josh Malone is going to get a roster spot. I agree with Teresa. See you, Teresa. I agree with you after you left that Josh Malone. I'd probably have him fourth right now in the receiver room. But we'll see. I mean, you still have to take all of the OTAs and minicamp and everything with a grain of salt. Theo Jackson, definitely someone to watch. That's obvious. Briley Moore is someone that I really continue to think about as a sneaky possibility at tight end. Now, maybe he has less opportunity because Hooper, Okonkwo are in. They're going to get more priority. But I liked what I saw from him as a downfield performer before he tore the ACL last camp. So don't sleep on him. And then Chance Campbell's a really important name, I think, in this camp as they try to find depth at linebacker, and especially with Monty Rice on PUP.
So I'm not saying you're wrong about Josh Malone because, look, I think that very well could be the spot that he's currently slotted at is number four. But should it not make you pretty nervous if you're John Robinson that, let's say that is the case and Josh Malone is your four right now, that your number four is a guy that has 11 catches for 91 yards in his NFL career?
Yeah, and I think you're right, and I could be wrong too. I do think that based on watching him play and based on what he did at Tennessee, I think it's pretty good to have that guy around right now. But he may slot behind Des Fitzpatrick. He may slot behind Rayson McMath. Des Fitzpatrick, I think, is possible. And that would be, frankly, good for the Titans in terms of a draft pick from a year ago actually showing progress. But the question is whether it's Malone, Fitzpatrick, McMath, whoever it is, once you get through that top tier, do you feel good about any of them coming in on a Sunday and giving you decent play? Remember, Cody Hollister is someone we never talk about. He's been here forever now. He's always around. He went out there in the New England game and played. I mean, he is a guy who also, can play and can be a competitor for one of these spots too.
He is. I mean, but to answer your question, no. Like, I feel good about – really, I feel good about two right now. I feel good about Robert Woods, assuming he continues to recover. And I feel good about Nick Westbrook-Ikhina in the role that he needs to play. I don't feel good about Nick Westbrook-Ikhina being a number two. But if he's the three, I feel good about that. We'll see on Treylon Burks, but we also know Treylon Burks is going to make the team. So you know that those three guys have roster spots that are spoken for. I mean, outside of that, I don't feel good about anything in the Titans wide receiver room. Now, that doesn't mean that somebody can't ascend, and by the time the first game rolls around and into the season, you're feeling a little bit better about things. But as we sit here today, no, I mean, I feel good about two Titans wide receivers right now. And the I like the potential of what Treylon Burks can be, but I have to see it.
Yeah, and that's not great. I mean, that's not comfortable. It is wild to think about some of the other teams out there, like your Green Bay Packers, for example. The lack of receiver room excitement there, right?
For the teams guys last year that were the number one seeds in each conference. So you had the Titans, the number one seed in the AFC, the Packers, the number one seed in the NFC. For an offseason that was basically spent on wide receivers and trying to, wide receiver movement throughout the league, for those two teams to be the ones that really have nothing at the end of the day, at least the Titans have Robert Woods. The Packers have Sammy Watkins, Alan Lazard. They drafted Christian Watson, who, by the way, is on PUP. And
oh, really?
That's about it.
Well, you got
Randall Cobb.
Where's Randall Cobb look?
He will be on PUP at some point.
Kentucky football player, Randall Cobb.
I love me some Randall Cobb, but he is going to get hurt at some point.
Yeah. What's Christian Watson's deal? I don't even know that.
Knee. I think he's going to end up being ready to go. But
okay. Yeah, well, then throw in the Chiefs. So the Packers lose Devontae Adams, Titans lose A.J. Brown, Chiefs lose Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
And the Chiefs draft pick also, by the way, is on IR for the year and out.
Yeah.
So it's not like the Titans are the only team with receiver questions, but I just can't feel comfortable about there being enough around Tannehill, especially when you take the offensive line into account to feel like this offense is going to be very good.
It depends on what version. Derrick Henry's Derrick Henry, it's going to be pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, it'll be – then they'll have the formula. If defense and him at his peak, then you don't necessarily – you can have very pedestrian passing stats and win a lot of football games.
615-737-1025. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans. More of your thoughts to get to on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Coming up next, this is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 1025-1063 The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Looking ahead to Titans training camp. By the way, Mike Vrabel, John Robinson, Ryan Cowden speaking later today, I believe at 11:30 is when that starts. So looking forward to that coming up a little bit later today. From the Titans, right now taking your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Andrew on the text line says, I'm so excited for the wide receiver from UCLA. Like we might actually have a threat in the slot for the first time in forever. Talking about Kyle Phillips. There is, I think, a lot of intrigue in Kyle Phillips. And more specifically, that position. Like, can you find a player, whether it's Kyle Phillips, Mason Kinsey, whoever it ends up being, that is an actual threat in the slot, because they didn't really have that last year. Now, they moved A.J. Brown around and he played in the slot, and I think you'll move Robert Woods around a little bit too, but can you have an actual dedicated slot receiver that could be a difference maker for you, especially when it's, third and six or second seven? Like, can you get some chains moved with guys in the slot, which really just wasn't a part of their offense last year? Like Chester Rogers, he's okay. But I think there's a reason Chester Rogers is not back with this team right now. So what do you make of what you've seen from Kyle Phillips thus far and what your expectations are for him heading into this year?
You're just going to forget about Adam Humphries. Although, actually, it's a good point. And Humphries, when he was healthy, he was very difficult to deal with in short in small areas. His feet were extremely quick. And I don't know that Kyle Phillips is going to be that effective, but I think Kyle Phillips is that model. Obviously, they wanted someone to fill that specific role, and I think it would be good for them to have that. You have that, and you can get effective, slot receiver, traditional slot receiver contribution, and then you get more from the tight end. And you take a little bit of pressure off the problem area, which is the outside receivers, which is a problem area, I swear to you.
We'll see.
I swear to you, Teresa.
I can't wait until Treylon Burks comes out there tomorrow and just lights it up. I mean, he's taking Christian Fulton to church out there, just left and right. Touchdowns, deep passes. I can't wait.
Yeah. Well, if that happens, then, I'll probably overreact quite a bit the next day. We're all ready to overreact right now.
No, yes, we are.
Hey, just him out there at all, big step. And then that's the thing is when he was out there, it's so limited. He made a few plays here and there, but it was hard to have any idea what he is.
Ron on the text line says, the Titans will still be able to get another receiver when other teams release players that didn't work out with them, right? Because I have big concerns about this wide receiver bench. Well, that's why I brought up the J-Rob thing with Malone. Like, let's say you're right, and Josh Malone, as it stands today, is your number four guy. Like, are you not at some point looking around if you're J-Rob and thinking, would it really be worth it to take like a one-year flyer on a guy like a Will Fuller who's still out there? Like, I don't know. I mean, to Ron's point, there's always going to be players that get released at the end of camp that you can add to your team, so maybe that's the route the Titans go. But I still do wonder if the Titans are done adding at wide receiver.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe part of it's a wait-and-see approach at what happens in camp.
Right. So, it's a good point. There could be someone could come available who's interesting. A lot of that, the answer there is, how's Dez Fitzpatrick playing day after day after day? How's Malone look? Is Racy McMath making strides? Is Phillips cementing himself? You have Hollister around. There's not a ton out there. Fuller, I've thought he was interesting all along. You're basically signing up for, you might have an explosive player for about 8-9 games.
And then he will have an explosive hamstring.
Yeah, right. An exploded hamstring. So is it worth it to, if the cost isn't high, is it worth it to have? I mean, look, in the NFL, let's face it, a lot of your players miss at least a couple games in a given year. That's how violent the game is. So is Will Fuller for a few games worth it? Might be. He can stretch a defense vertically, and I don't see anybody on this roster who can do that.
Megan on the text line says, I've been rewatching some of last season's games and highlights, which is depressing. AJ wasn't perfect, but man, some of the catches he made were unbelievable. Not just the catches, but the runs after as well. I'm mad about how things ended, but that doesn't change how huge he was to this team. Let's send him a Chipotle gift card and wish him all the best with the Eagles.
There you go.
I think he may pass on the Chipotle gift card.
Ah, nice.
But that goes back to your point of who's replacing that? Like, who's replacing A.J. Brown against Indy on the road last year?
Right.
Who's replacing A.J. Brown at home against San Francisco last year? Does Treylon Burks have the capability at any point this year of doing that? Does anybody else, collectively, do they have the capability of doing that? That's the question.
And it's just hard collectively. Is just, to me, it's like if you have a bunch of pretty good players, that's fine. But those two games you pointed out, that's a great player dominating an opponent. And the Colts were just hapless that day. And, you know, Derrick Henry, of course, he got hurt that day, right?
Yeah.
He wasn't having a great day. It didn't matter because A.J. Brown was crushing their secondary. And he and Tannehill had such great chemistry. It's the only reason they won the Niners game was A.J. Brown took it over. I think there's a lot of underrating of what he is as a player since this move has been made. But it is over. And now the collective replacement of him, that's what you're going to have to do, but a lot of times it just doesn't work well because you don't have anybody who actually manipulates a defense or gets a defense out of its comfort zone. I mean, I think Treylon Burks eventually has to be that kind of player.
What's the thing? Like, yes, the move itself is over, but the job that Todd Downing and Vrabel and Tim Kelly have in front of them now of replacing that production is not over. Like, that's what you got to figure out this training camp, because if you can't do it, it's hard for me to see where this offense is going to be able to move the ball effectively enough where you can win the division again. Like, look, I think Robert Woods is going to be really good. I think when everything's said and done with Treylon Burks, he's going to be fine. He's going to have a fine rookie year. So that's why I would still, and I also don't trust Matt Ryan all that much, so I'm still picking the Titans to win the division heading in this year. But if you don't come close to replacing that, you're in a world of hurt offensively if you're the Titans. So yes, the AJ move itself is over, but that's an ongoing process all year to me with this offensive staff, and that's one of the most important jobs. That's where Todd Downing needs to show his worth this year of scheming things up and coming up with a way to replace that production. And it's not going to be, you know, probably throwing the ball to Robert Woods every play like you did AJ Brown. You're going to have to do it by committee, but that's what your task is this year if you're the Titans.
Yeah. Well, Todd Downing and Tim Kelly,
yeah,
have got to be better. And then, well, Todd Downing has to be better. Tim Kelly has to be a positive addition. And the tight end thing is, I mean, that's how much does improved tight end production and reliability offset not having anyone who scares the defense on the outside? Because A.J. Brown, he may not have been a pure, you know, he wasn't Tyreek Hill, you know, or someone like that, but he could still get behind the defense, and certainly he was a nightmare with the ball in his hands.
Will, on the text line, that's an interesting question. If you have to choose two guys right now, which two Titans finish in the top two in total catches for the year? So you gotta identify two Titans right now for leading the team in catches. Who are they?
I'd go with Woods and Hooper.
In that order?
Yeah, probably. I'd go that order. Yeah, probably in that order. And that's a big, I mean, that's a big statement on Hooper. I may be overstating it there. If we're talking receivers,
I'm just going total pass catchers.
Yeah, no, yeah. I know. But if we're going receivers, I'm probably going Woods and Westbrook Akina. But the Titans need it to be Woods and Burks.
If we're going receiver, I'll go Woods Burks. Like I think Burks is going to figure it out. I think it may not be immediately, but he's a good player. Like, I think he's going to be a good player for this team. So I'll go Woods and Burks. Just totally
that would be a better outcome if that's the case. Because Westbrook Akina, either way, Burks could be rookie of the year. Westbrook Akina is still going to be in the rotation and out
for
there
sure.
Making plays. But if he's the clear three at some point this year and earlier than, you know, sooner than later, that improves their outlook to me pretty significantly.
I think it does as well. So Mike Vrabel, John Robinson are speaking later today to kick off Titans training camp at St. Thomas Sports Park. What are we interested to hear? What are we looking for this week, particularly as it relates to the Jeffrey Simmons contract front? We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rextra, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day here on Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Looking ahead to Titans training camp. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Thomas on the text line says, what are the usual camp storylines or moments that you see people overreact to that they shouldn't? This is coming from Thomas on the text line. This goes back to what I bring up every year at this time. As somebody who's covered hockey for a long time, it is amazing to me the amount of stock that we put into training camp practices. Unbelievable to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, I will say, we talked last year about Ryan Tannehill throwing a few more picks in the training camp practices, and he threw a few more picks in the regular season.
It is true.
As well. So,
And I definitely was like, ah, that means nothing.
Yeah. So are they totally meaningless? No.
No, I think it's a great question, and I think it comes down to against whom are you doing
right
the things that you're doing well. So Mason Kinsey, not to pick, I feel like we've been picking on Mason Kinsey a little bit today, but Mason Kinsey last year, and look, Mekhi Sargent. Let me indict myself here because I watched him in practice, and at times he was going against the ones and stuff, and I really liked how he ran the ball, so I thought he had a shot. He ended up not making the team. Mason Kinsey, like, had some great preseason game plays, right?
Yeah.
Again, against, like, third string, second string guys trying to make a football team. Nothing wrong with that. It's still NFL players, NFL hopefuls, and you're that too. But the reaction then was people thinking he was going to matter for the team, and it was like, guys, he's not making the team.
Right.
So that's what happens is, I think, in preseason games especially, is you can – now, what else happened in the Atlanta game? David Long, who talked all preseason about how hard he'd work on pass defense. He had a fantastic zone drop and a pick in that game. And I was like, okay, I can see what he's talking about there.
Yeah.
And you saw what he was as a player last year, how much he grew. He grew a lot. So you can still see things. And I think with Rashad Weaver, if he hadn't gotten hurt, I think that preseason game also showed a little bit of what he can do. And I think we're going to see that. So it's not like there's – I mean, there's a lot that you can find out about these things, but you just have to be careful of – someone's just tearing up a third-string corner, that doesn't necessarily mean that much.
Yeah, well, like if Treylon Burks is going up against Christian Fulton, you'll be paying attention to that. That's why when in Arizona, and hopefully Kyler Murray's doing his film study when Arizona comes in here to practice. But when they come in and Tampa Bay comes in, like I'll be paying attention to Caleb Farley against Chris Godwin, or Chris Godwin's hurt, so Mike Evans out there. Like yeah. I'll be watching that. Like that's one thing that you need to pay attention to. So. Yeah, you know, I think there are moments throughout camp that you can overreact to. Like you said, I think you did a good job of laying out some of those. They're not totally meaningless, but we see it every year. I mean, Marcus Johnson's a good example last year, right? He was really good throughout camp the whole time, and he got hurt and just wasn't a factor throughout the rest of the year. Like, just because you're really good in training camp doesn't mean that you're going to be great throughout the course of a regular season. Now, in his case, it's probably more to do with injury than it is anything else. But there's these players every year. Look, how many times have I heard about Paris Campbell with the Colts? Just lighting it up in training camp. What's Paris Campbell ever done on the football field in an NFL game? It happens with every team.
Yeah, that's a good comparison. Well, the thing with like Marcus Johnson and Chester Rogers last year is because A.J. Brown and Julio Jones missed so much time, they were plugged in with the ones a lot. So that, to me, I put more weight on what they were doing. And Rodgers ended up being a key player all year. I mean, he played a lot. He started quite a few games. And then, again, Johnson, I'll forever argue that Marcus Johnson would have been a really good player for the Titans last year. And I'll argue right now he'll be a good player for the 49ers if he can somehow keep himself healthy. But at some point, when a player continues to not be able to do that, It's tough to expect it, yeah. And that's why he's not here.
So you got Vrabel and J-Rob and Ryan Cowden speaking later today. What interests you the most about this press conference heading into it, and do you think there'll be any clarity at all on the Jeffrey Simmons situation today?
Well, that's the thing. We have a press conference that involves a team's top two personnel people. Then that's the question to me is, where are you? Are you working on a deal? I mean, that's probably more important than anything. Because, whatever Jeffrey Simmons is going to do, that's his decision. But are the Titans engaged in that? Are they willing to get into that at all? They may not be. I mean, it's not like it would be totally off the wall to look at a guy and say, you have this year, we picked up your option, and good luck.
Yeah.
I personally think that it would be worth their time to look at it and try to see if they can make it favorable for them to do the deal this early. But that's a huge question. Just how John Robinson looks at that, I'm fascinated to see what he thinks. He's never done it, but I'm with you. We talked about it earlier. This idea that now you're setting a precedent, you're just gonna be canning out these contracts left and right. I mean, they've barely even offered the fifth year to most of the to first round picks.
We've talked for years about, hey, let's get to a fifth year with some of these at some point.
And
second even, contract.
And if John Robinson's here another 10 years, they'll offer the fifth year option to some of those first round picks moving forward, I bet. But I also bet they're not going to run into too many Jeffrey Simmonses, okay? Talking about potentially the number two player at his position in the league right now. And number one is maybe the best defender of all time.
Yeah.
So this is not just your run-of-the-mill contract situation. It's a guy who, for the next few years, might be a truly great player in the NFL.
Well, and let's say, barring a deal today with Jeffrey Simmons and the Titans, does Jeffrey Simmons show up on the field tomorrow? Like, is he going to participate while this goes on? That, part of what I'm interested in J-Rob's answer today is kind of reading in between the lines on that, because I doubt we'll hear anybody come out and say, yeah, Jeffrey Simmons is going to be sitting out tomorrow. It's my guess of what will happen today.
We got a plan for him.
But, if we show up tomorrow and Jeffrey Simmons isn't practicing, How long is that going to drag on? Like, what does that look like with the Titans and trying to get this done, or whether or not they are trying to get this done? That's it could turn into an interesting situation here in the next few days.
It could. I feel like it's been very amicable at this point.
It has.
And there's good feelings on both sides. But I think a lot of it comes down to, the Titans' willingness, and my guess is they will. But then also, does Jeffrey Simmons not only want this deal done, but does he want, absolute, you're not going to get Aaron Donald money, of course, but like right under that, like how does Jeffrey Simmons and how does his new representation, how do they view, what the contract should look like? I think there should be a trade-off for doing it this early, but it doesn't mean he does.
Yeah. Well, and if he doesn't, like if he doesn't view it that way, if you're John Robinson, the Titans, does that impact the way these discussions go? Like, are you less willing to engage in those discussions if that's the case? Because that's where you do have the leverage if you're Jay Robinson, the Titans. Well, we don't have to do this right now. We can wait another 3 years to do this.
Well, I think I would still really want to be having the discussions and try to make sure there's a clear understanding of, like, here, you put yourself in my shoes. I'll put myself in your shoes.
Yeah.
Compromise, which happens in contract situations. Sometimes a player may be wacky and out there a little bit on the demands, and then sometimes it gets worked out. This happens sometimes in pro sports.
It does.
And sometimes it doesn't happen.
It doesn't. Is there ever going to come a time where –
where I'm not taking passive aggressive shots at trading AJ Brown? Yeah. Probably not.
Well, I'm here for it. I hope you keep doing it.
Yeah, we love it.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what?
It's I will say
plays four games this year, and everybody who's
I know we've got to wrap up here in the next minute, but it is kind of amazing to me how quickly Titans fans have just like moved this aside. Like, I get it. There's nothing you can do about it, so there's no point in dwelling on it.
Right.
But it is kind of amazing how quickly Titans fans are just like, well, AJ Brown, he's gone.
Well, okay. And that's one thing, but it's like when it's let me try to find all the things to spin why he actually wasn't that good. That's where it's like, see, now you're just fooling yourself. don't be that person. Don't fool yourself. He was a special singular talent, and we'll see where it goes from here.
We'll see where it goes from here.
Not happening here.
It is not going to be happening here, and we'll see how the Titans go about replacing that production that comes along with AJ Brown as well.
Actually, now that we've gone about this, I think that'll be my question. Like, do you yet regret trading AJ Brown, John Robinson?
Has that thought entered your mind?
Talk about that
at this point. Please talk about that. That's happening later this morning at 11:30. Press conference with Vrabel and J Rob as well. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow here on Robbie and Rex Road. The midday show coming up next. This is 102.5, 106.3, The Game.